yeah, we did it. We've done it. We're back. The second episode of the season of the Montreal Bias. Zach Vanoss and Sean O'Neill.
It's the big show, buddy.
The big show. So it brings the boys to the yard.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Lazy Sunday going on. Habs coming off a nice win on Saturday night. Another game to look forward to tonight. Football all day. I'm good.
Yeah, neither of us have much to look forward to in the NFL realm, so hopefully the Habs can turn things around.
Well, I was saying, and for those that didn't listen to the recency bias, I was saying on that the other day, or rather today, the episode I did this morning, like, that was a big win in Winnipeg on Saturday night. You know, for them to fall behind like they did, to climb back and automatically make this four-game road trip kind of a success by the fact that they've now got two wins on it. It's four games. And now, you know, one more game in Chicago tonight. You can really put the icing on the cake if you beat Chicago. Suddenly you took 6 points on a road trip and are about to come home for six straight games. Could be a big turning point. Now we'll see what Carey Price does, obviously, now that he's apparently going to get the start. I could be way off on that, but I read that earlier today. So
I missed that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's definitely the case. It's just something I saw earlier today that he might be in. So, I don't know, a chance to turn around the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of insane to call any game a must-win season in an 82-game season, let alone a game in early November. But it really did kind of feel like if they didn't come away with at least 4 points on this road trip, that, man, that's a pretty deep hole.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, the team's won, what, three of their last four?
Three of four, yep.
Three or four, you know, they're not looking great, but whatever. They've gotten it. They've gotten the points. They've won three out of four, so they're digging themselves out of that hole. They dug a little bit.
They're scoring.
Chicago always plays them tough. I don't have super high hopes for tonight, but at least they got a couple of points, because if they didn't come away with at least 4 points on this road swing, I almost would have been ready to throw in the towel on the season.
Yeah, exactly. It all depends on Carey Price. They're scoring at least now, so they've actually managed to win some of these games by, you know, putting up 8 against Ottawa, 3 in a loss to Minnesota, 5 against Winnipeg. They put up, another 5 spot against New York a week ago. So they're scoring right now. That's like 21 goals, I think, in 4 games or whatever it is. So that's happening at least. But, I mean, if Carey Price doesn't get back to form soon, you can't really win. Either relying on Al Montoya, or with Carey Price at like, or anybody, but in our case, especially Carey Price at like .890 goaltending. And that would be an improvement. I think he's even below that still right now in the season.
Yeah, I mean, there are very few teams, if any, that can win with that type of goaltending, and the Habs are not one of them. They are not a team that's built to win 6-5 shootouts.
No, and that's the other thing is, like, all the, and I've repeated myself as well from the bias, but like, all their mojo comes from Carey Price. Like, he is a big part of them breaking out as well. Like, his puck control, he starts a lot of rushes. He's so everything about that team. He is their identity. And if they're questioning him, they're also questioning themselves. And that's, you know, I'm happy to see that despite that, they've actually played quite well. I mean, put up 50 shots against Winnipeg last night. It was a huge character win.
Yep. And, you know, it's not too little too late. They dug themselves in a hole, but there was always the possibility that they could dig themselves out of it. You know, started off 2-7-1. They kind of have to go 7-2-1. So I know that's not exactly how the math works out, but at least if they could go on a bit of a run and get themselves back to .500, that'd be nice. But we'll see. 3 wins out of 4 is nice, but like you said, it all comes down to Price. I assume, you know, he's too good for this to happen forever.
Yeah, I think so.
But even if it's, you know, it's got to be soon, because even if it's only half a season, this isn't a playoff team if your best player is playing at a sub-NHL level for half a season.
Real, unreliable goaltending. It's not
the best. Do you have any theories on what's happening, or is it just, it happens?
One of our listeners sent me a theory. He thinks Price should stop wearing Wranglers on ice. A little too tight, not right for flexibility. He gets it, but the thought, maybe we should advise. Yeah, no, I disagree as well. Wrangler, wear them at all times. That's the slogan now.
It's not a bad slogan.
Wear them at all. Actually, it's pretty good. Hey, Wrangler, pay us for the new slogan as well. Do something for us. God damn it. In protest, I'm once again in some rich man sweatpants today. The corduroy.
Ooh, nice.
So that's been the start to the Habs season. That's where we are right now. The early panic mode followed by lately trying to figure it out. What about the rest of the NHL so far this season? Sean, has any of it grabbed your attention? I think for me is the important question.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, baseball's been so good. I've kind of been more focused on the combination of baseball being great and the Habs kind of stumbling out of the gate. I've been more focused on baseball than I have been on the NHL. Mm-hmm. The Vegas thing's been fun. Tampa's kind of looking like who we thought they were, or at least who we thought they would be last year. Like, they've kind of rounded back into shape.
The Lightning are who we thought they were.
besides that, no one's really popped out. I mean, the Kings start has been interesting. I didn't really see that coming. I kind of had them dead in the water, but yeah, they're kind of looking like the Kings again.
A lot of people had written the Kings off, and for the moment, they seem like, the Kings of, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah. We'll see. There's a lot of season left to be played, but, you know, maybe in retrospect, it was a little premature to write LA off. Like, that core is still pretty damn good.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I've got to see a full season. It was a good month for the LA Kings, but hey, the Habs got off to incredible Octobers the last few and didn't necessarily tell you the whole story of the team. I'm still not sold on this Kings team, to be honest.
It's not like the cupboard's bare, though.
No, they've got a lot of weird contracts.
I feel like their margin of error isn't very large because they do have a lot of weird contracts. But I mean, Doughty and Muzzin is your 1-2 on defense. That's pretty good. Quick. Maybe he's a little overrated, but he's still a pretty good goalie. You know, Kopitar and Carter and those young guys up front. There's enough there that I'm buying into this a little bit.
How about, since this is a bit that we're doing now called, In or Out? You buying? Whatever you want to title it at home.
Buy or sell? I can't remember what we called this.
This week it's called You Buying? All right. You buying the Leafs, especially lately?
Yeah, kind of. Are you not?
I'm buying they're losing. I'm buying high on that.
I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, they're a playoff team. They're not the team that Toronto declared themselves to be in the first week or two of the season. But I think they're a playoff. They're, one game above 500? I think they're 8-7 now.
Yeah.
After a red-hot start, they've come much more back to earth. And, I mean, you had to expect that. They score a bunch. They still score a bunch. They're losing most of these games like 5-4, 6-3, that kind of thing. But they still don't really know how to play defense. And that's makes sense. They're still a young team.
Yeah, and that was, you know, you looked at the roster going into the season and you said, you know, they got a lot of really fun young forwards, but the defense kind of sucks and the goaltending kind of sucks. And, yeah, they shot out of a cannon to start things off and everyone's going crazy. But I think I think they're a playoff team just because there's so much talent there, but they're not a fully formed roster yet. They're sort of like, you know, those early Capitals teams when Ovechkin was great and the team was fun, but they're not a fully formed roster yet.
Well, there you go, Toronto fans. You have the future of the Washington Capitals to look forward to.
there is that.
I mean, there's always potential for that. Somebody's got to replace the Caps as the next generation of how come they didn't get it done. The Caps kind of replaced the Sharks.
Yeah.
Though then the Sharks did succeed at their ultimate goal of making it to the Stanley Cup final. Patrick Marleau, I saw him described by James Myrtle in The Athletic the other day as a 38-39-year-old depth winger. And I was like, when did he become that? I don't remember that being the articles written on him when they signed him.
That should have been the articles written about him.
I agree. I agree entirely. But this was supposed to be the thing that put them into cup contention. Not to mention, he's never delivered a cup for a very, very good team. So, you know, that was when he was young.
Okay, the guy I think of when I think of getting...
It's true. So you're our guy on the ground in Ottawa right now. Big rumors going on around Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
Possibly going there. They're always interesting. They're always in on it with the Senators. You know, whether it's Kyle Turris, they always seem to be one of those teams that's surprisingly in the running for getting some of the bigger names. But I don't know. It's weird for me that Ottawa would be the team trying to get Matt Duchene.
They have been a sort of sneaky, aggressive team over the past year and a bit. And this Turris thing is kind of weird because they sort of, you know, they bought low on Turris. He's fulfilled everyone's expectations, but for whatever reason doesn't really seem to be part of the picture moving forward. So they've got Turris, who's a nice piece. Like, I really like Kyle Turris. And yeah, they've been in on this Duchesne stuff. And I guess so we're recording this on a Sunday. I guess the story kind of broke on Friday. The Dreger thing, that there was this three-team deal between Nashville, the Avalanche, and Ottawa, with Turris going to Nashville, Duchesne going to Ottawa, and somebody going to Colorado. Apparently Ottawa, for whatever reason, had this internal deadline and just kind of called it off. But you'd think they'd be able to resuscitate those talks if they really wanted to, right?
Yeah, and then I was reading something today, I think it was Friedman, who was saying the rumor that it was Ottawa called it off might not be the case now. So Colorado and Ottawa might go back to work just between the two of them without the third party of Nashville. Though Nashville really seems to be the team that keeps popping up in some way. They want to use Duchesne on the move as a way to bolster their blue line, the forward core a little bit.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of moving pieces, man. A lot of ins and outs, but this Duchesne thing's been untenable for a while, but it's really reached the point where they got to do something.
I mean, he's not doing anything to up his value in Colorado right now. 4 goals on the season, but I mean, we all know he's probably just going through the motions.
Yeah, you can fault him for that or not, but it does seem like one of those things where the moment he gets traded, he's going to score 11 goals in 13 games or something.
Would that make Ottawa, I mean, obviously make them scarier, but would it make them much scarier? How much would that change for you? I'm looking at Ottawa. I don't know what the fuck they are to begin with. I never know what they are.
Yeah, neither do I. They're such a weird team. They're well coached. I think, you know, the magic seems to run out at some point with Boucher, but we're not there yet. And I don't know what this team is besides being well coached.
And have Erik Karlsson.
And there's some nice pieces there.
Yeah, Stone seems to be something. He's really proven himself to be something.
It's not bad. Ryan's overpaid, but he's still a nice player.
Yeah.
I mean, Duchesne's an upgrade on Turris, but he's not a crazy upgrade, is he?
But look at that. Look at those three names right there. Bobby Ryan, Kyle Turris, and now Matt Duchesne. Ottawa's good at going and getting those guys.
Yeah.
They're all very similar situations.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very good at finding guys who are not in great situations and kind of buying low and bringing them in. And that's kind of what you have to do if you're a team like Ottawa that's, you know, not a big market team. They don't spend, to my understanding, they don't spend to the cap every single year. Mm-hmm. Although neither do the Habs.
Just like the Habs. Exactly. You got to be frugal in these times. These are weird times. You got to watch that bottom line, you know?
And again, I didn't believe in Ottawa all year last year. Then they go and make the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought they were going to fall off a cliff this year.
All right, just play it cool, Sean. Nobody will notice. Just move through as if we didn't switch up how we're talking at all and we aren't suffering from immense technical difficulties. Sean on the phone line, obviously, now.
Yeah, something weird is happening in internet world, so we're mixing things up, and we'll preemptively apologize for the audio quality.
Yeah, look, as some of you may have gleaned over these 6 years that we've been doing this, we don't have any sponsors, despite attempting to corral something out of Wrangler. See how I even use the word corral?
Subtly,
Wrangler?
Subtly attempting.
Subtly, yes. Good point. We're not aggressive about much. The point is, our sound equipment is dying in front of us, and so as you, unless we get ourselves a rich benefactor, is that no? We'd be the benefactor. What's the word I'm looking for here?
I don't know. Yeah, I think benefactor is right.
Is that the right word? I thought we would be. Anyway, this isn't an English podcast.
It was my understanding. I wouldn't need to know words to do this podcast.
No, I know that was the agreement we originally went to. So yeah, unless someone wants to send us a new mixing board and computer, we're all going to have to ride this together like a bunch of rebel outlaws just trying to make it on what we can.
Yeah, buddy. Gonzo podcasting.
Exactly. All right. So sorry about the sound, but hey, now Sean won't sound like he's disappearing, drowning underwater, which would really happen if we did the podcast swimming.
Whoa. Let's not go there.
I don't remember I don't remember at any point agreeing to not talk about the fact that you can't swim on this podcast.
clearly in my contract that we signed 6 years ago.
I don't think I can't, to be honest, I really can't see myself agreeing to that.
That's fair.
I mean, there's a lot of things I'd say sure to that I could not let go. All right, hockey again. Let's try and get this thing back on track.
Back to hockey.
Or not. I mean, if they stuck it out this far, quality's clearly not what they're looking for. any other yeah. storylines early in the NHL season that have attracted you, besides the fact that maybe the NHL hasn't attracted you?
I mean, Vegas has kind of been the big one, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's been fun. Definitely not sustainable, I mean, but...
What's that?
I say it's not sustainable, but...
Who cares, right?
Yeah, I sure shit don't.
Like, I get it. It's not gonna last for 82 games. We all kind of know that. You know, maybe the fact that we have sort of more analytics than we used to makes that even more readily obvious than it used to be. But, like, let's have fun with it while it lasts.
Yeah, I mean, how amazing has it been that Vegas is the team, especially, you know, that has just continued to roll one goalie after the other, all to success. They've had four now. They've all put up incredible numbers. It makes no sense. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. So, yeah, maybe it comes crashing and burning, like, starting this week. But
even better. That's perfect, Vegas.
Pretty fun first 13 games for your franchise history.
And that's what you want. You go on a hot streak just as you get there, and then it all crumbles and tumbles, and that's the ultimate Vegas experience. They're doing a tribute to the city itself.
Exactly.
It has been fun. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they're still in the hunt, if they do the smart thing and still, like, trade everything they can to get more and more assets for the future, or tease themselves into thinking they might be something.
I would assume they would do the former. It seems to be a relatively well-run front office. I get that making the playoffs in your inaugural season would be kind of cool, but...
Yeah, you got to wonder which is worth
it. I don't really know where that gets you long-term.
No, but there is something to be said for immediate success in generating a fan base.
Yeah, that's true.
Year one is important. Like, and usually there's a 99% chance you're not going to have any success. And like we say, like, it seems very unlikely they would, so would be able to continue winning, you know, with this regularity, but... If they do, and they get to, you know, February, March, and they're still in it, that's pretty exciting. Although maybe it's just enough to keep them in the hunt. But you also don't want to signal to the fan base that, hey, we're in it this year, and now we're not anymore because we traded the only decent players we had.
Yeah, that's fair. And a team like that, like, I haven't actually really seen how they're doing ticket-wise, but you would assume that an extra couple games of revenue would help them quite a bit.
I would think so.
It's not a great division either, especially with Edmonton looking like dog shit again. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. I assume that the crash is going to come before that really becomes a conversation, but maybe not.
Yeah, let's talk about Edmonton. There's another surprise. I mean, we thought the Habs start was gross. Nobody expected the Habs to be a Stanley Cup contender this year. Edmonton, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I had them winning the Cup. They were my Cup pick.
You're an idiot.
I mean, that's been well established over the past however many years.
Will they turn it around? I'm starting to wonder.
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder, too. Like, you know, going in, everyone was excited because, you know, A, they had this once-in-a-generation player, and it seemed like they had done a pretty good job sort of filling in the gaps around him. Now it's more looking like it's just McDavid and company again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it doesn't...
He's still been great, but the rest of the team was like,
Yeah, I don't know... And if it's a fact of their history, the fact that they've struggled to get over the hump until last season so much makes it very easy to see how this could still potentially go poorly for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and it's starting to look like, as great as McDavid is, we're all starting to remember that maybe you need more than one guy.
All right, new bit. This one's called Believe, and play the Cher song. All right, I just want to look at what we've seen so far. And you tell me if you believe the team or not, better or worse. Tampa Bay, 11-2-2. We already talked about them. I believe. I assume you believe.
They are the best team in the East by a considerable margin.
Now they look it. They're incredible right now. St. Louis Blues, who beat the Leafs on Saturday. They're 11-3-1, second best record in the NHL.
I could easily see them winning that division and maybe finishing with the most points in the West or even the league. They could win the President's Trophy. I still kind of feel like their ceiling is the second round, though, don't you?
Yeah, that's just the reality of the St. Louis Blues for me.
Yeah, they're in that weird position where, and I don't really know what the missing piece is either. Like,
no, I thought it was...
They're good up front, they've got a good blue line, their goaltending, I guess you could say, is a bit iffy, but like, you know, he's playing well so far. Like, on paper, it's a good team. They just seem to be missing something, which I realize is a stupid, kind of a stupid analysis, but
that's what they come,
you know,
for.
That's kind of who they've been for the past 5 years, and I don't really see what's going to make it that much different this year, unless it's just the fact that the West is a bit more wide open than it has been in the past, and, you know, maybe Tarasenko's taking the leap, and he's sort of that franchise guy now, but I still think that's a team with a ceiling.
I mean, Tarasenko's already pretty franchisey. He's goddamn good.
Yeah, he is. He is. You're right.
And he's the guy we thought they needed. You know, 4 or 5 years back, we were just saying, well, they need that big game breaker. They've got a lot of good pieces. They play smart hockey, but they don't have the game breaker. Well, now they have the game breaker. So, as you're saying, I have no idea what's actually missing.
And maybe it's just because we haven't seen it, right?
That's possible.
Maybe we're just sort of giving them those traits after the fact because they haven't broken through yet. And listen, like we said with Washington and sort of with San Jose, sometimes you never do. But, you know, it's possible the team goes on a run this spring and we all kind of forget that, you know, that they bottomed out in the second round for the past couple seasons.
I'm going to go with my scientific gut on this one. I need some evidence from St. Louis that there's something more before I bother to buy in or believe.
Yeah, fair.
Try to keep with the bet. Los Angeles, we talked about. A semi-believe. I'd like to see a little more evidence, but, I mean, this team was good. They had one bad year. Can't necessarily write them off.
Yeah, I mean, they won 2 cups and got to another conference final, right? So, in, you know, relatively recent memory.
Yeah. Columbus, hey, we saw this last year. 9-4-1 right now. 4th best record in the NHL. I believe they'll be fine through the regular season again.
Every couple of years, there's a team that comes along that is good that I just refuse to believe is good until they've done it for like 4 straight seasons.
Mm. I like that. Yeah, I agree. That's Columbus.
Ottawa's kind of that team, but even to a greater extent, Columbus is that team.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, at this point, it's you know, their track record over the last 2 years, it's pretty good. Like, it's kind of obvious that they're at least a pretty good team at this point, but I just flat out refuse to believe it.
No, I hear that. Who's next? Oh, Vegas. We talked about them. I don't think we believe, but that's okay.
No, but I'm enjoying it nonetheless.
Exactly. Pittsburgh had in the 7th spot at 8-6-2. Yeah, why would we not believe in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to win 3 in a row, so that's the part of the puzzle I maybe don't believe in, but I believe in them as a contender.
Yeah, they're a good team. I agree. I don't. 3 seems really impossible. Borderline impossible.
Man, if they win 3, 3 straight in this era is as impressive as any of those teams that won 5 or 6 straight back in the day.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that would be incredible. Next up, Winnipeg Jets, who the Habs badly outplayed and barely beat on Saturday. 7-3-3. I believe in the Jets as a playoff team in the West.
Yeah, the Jets are kind of my bizarro Blue Jackets, where they've done nothing to give me any confidence whatsoever for the past decade, but I'm really in on them for some reason.
I love this. I agree.
And I have been for the past couple of years. I've felt like Winnipeg's about to break through. Yeah. And even though there's a lot of holes on that roster, I kind of like that team.
Me too. I like watching them. They're fun to watch every time you watch, which I think kind of makes you think, well, look, they were kind of fun to play against on Saturday night. That was an exciting game. And so anytime you get a team that's fun to watch, I feel like you tend to give them a little bit benefit of the doubt, also assuming that means they're good. And Dustin Byfuglien, right?
Yeah, exactly. What's not to love? It'd be fun to see that team be good or go on a bit of a run, because those fans deserve it.
They definitely do.
They lost their team for 20 years. And the thing is, like, they were never good.
No, that's the weaker thans,
like,
will tell you
the
that.
In the WHA, they had some decent seasons, I guess. But as an NHL team, like, they've never really been any good.
No, they're... I would love to see something good happen for the Jets.
I don't know if we're there yet, but I think they'll make the playoffs, right? Although that's a fucking tough division.
Yeah, it's... They got off to the start they needed. They can't climb back in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But if they I can see them maintaining.
Yeah, I can too.
And they came up against...
I mean, that forward core, you know, between Scheifele, Wheeler, and Laine, that's a pretty nice group of forwards.
Yeah, I like what. You know, yeah, don't forget Laine. He seems to have been forgotten because, for some reason, I can't quite put my finger on Austin Matthews has taken over the conversation. But Laine's a hell of a player. He's not Austin Matthews. I even though that was a debate last year, and I wanted to say the Laine side, Matthews is definitely better, but Laine is not to be forgotten. If he was in any other, you know, put him in Montreal, put him in probably even Ottawa, he gets more attention.
Yeah, he's not Austin Matthews, but you can still be really good. He's kind of like, you know, he's the Eichel to Matthews McDavid, right?
Yep. Oh, how about this piece of shit Ottawa record? Fuck. 6-3-5, because of course they are.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's I believe that. That'll maintain all year.
Yeah, again, I don't know what to do with this team. Fuck them. They're so weird and bizarrely constructed, and like, they're boring, but they're kind of competitive, but I don't know.
Yep. I don't know. Add Duchesne.
I don't know.
You add Duchesne and they're probably 7-3-4 instead. So not much difference.
Exactly.
San Jose Sharks at 8-5-0. Yeah, a top 10 team in the NHL. That's exactly where I still expect the Sharks to be and will forever, I think.
Yep.
They'll never win a cup, but they'll always be a top 10 team in the NHL. 11 Colorado at 8-5-0. Yeah, no kidding. That's not going to last.
I mean, yeah, there's not a whole lot there.
No, there's not. The air is thinner, and the team has, I don't know, how many recognizable names on them? Not too many.
Yeah, some nice forwards, but really that's about it, right?
They got Yakupov. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's looking okay.
They got McKinnon. They got Landeskog. They got Duchesne for the moment. Sven Andraghetto, the one that got away. I miss Sven.
I mean, that is not a bad forward core, right?
It's fine. I mean, you're not going to do shit with it, especially in the West, but it's fine. But, yeah, that's a terribly constructed team, and you know they're bad. Vancouver 7-4-2, that's also an illusion. At some point, their legs will give out. Yeah, that's nothing. Hey, they beat Pittsburgh last night.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has, I mean, I just got off saying that I believe in them, but they have had a weird start to the season.
Maybe it's because they've just won 2 Stanley Cups and aren't really interested yet.
Or they're just fucking exhausted.
Yeah, plus, like, all their losses, I think, or for the most part, their losses have all come in, like, back-to-backs. They've played a bunch of back-to-backs already, so.
Yeah, they've had a weird schedule. Yeah, they'll figure it out. It's been a bit of a weird start to the season. Like, I think their goal differential is, like, minus 15 or something weird.
Yeah, but they're still 8-6-2 and have the 7th most points in the NHL, so. And that's with them struggling.
Yep.
Dallas 8-6-0. Yeah, that's appropriate.
Man, I want that Dallas team to be good.
They need some things, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
They're a potential juggernaut, but I feel like maybe the pieces they're missing are too big to. Like, they got to do some shuffling, and it will weaken what is strong for them, which is their offense, obviously.
Yeah, there's something there, but it's not like they're a quick swap away from all of a sudden being a 100-point team.
I don't think so. Chicago 7-5-2. I actually thought Chicago was doing better. Essentially a 500 team.
Yeah, they've looked dominant for stretches, but on balance, they're hovering around 500. There was a notion before the season started that maybe the window was closing on the Hawks.
Yeah, and I mean, for obvious reasons.
I don't think that's too far away, but I'm not quite there yet.
No, it'll have to come at some point, but they could have another year. They could make a run. I don't know if I have them still in cup contention, but if they were suddenly in the Stanley Cup final in the spring, it's not going to be the most shocking thing.
No. And they've been incredibly good at flipping that thing around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many years have they been essentially in contention? Almost a decade now.
Getting close, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, their ability to continuously sort of get themselves in cap trouble and then get out of it has been impressive, I guess.
Some near cheating, I think. I don't know about
that. Not mutually exclusive.
No, ask the New England Patriots. Also 7-5-2, and a team that I still think will be fine is the Nashville Predators.
I think so, too. They've looked, but even last year when they made their run, like, they were the last team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think there's too much talent there for them to not be a playoff team.
Yeah, no, they're a good team. That team's going to be fine. They'll probably be minimum Western Conference final for me. 8-7-0, we already talked about the Leafs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's just like the Toronto, just over 500, you know, probably in that 96, 98-point range, possibly. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tampa's obviously won the division, yeah. And then Ottawa, Toronto, Boston, Montreal will be scrambling for the other two spots.
Now that you put out everybody else in the division, Christ, anybody could finish anywhere. I wouldn't be shocked.
It's a
by
weird
anything.
Division. It's better than it has been.
But it's also worse? Well, like
it's better than it has been, but there's still only one legitimately good team.
Yeah, and it used to be a little more top-heavy. Like, I feel like Tampa, obviously, right now, the best team. But, like, after that, Toronto, sure, they came out well, but now I think they look a little bit more like themselves. Ottawa's probably going to be there because they always are. Montreal, if Carey Price rebounds, they can probably work themselves back into a spot. Boston was always going to be right on the kind of line for in or out of the playoffs this year. Florida, they'll probably finish last place.
I expected more out of Florida this year.
That's your problem. Never expect more out of Florida.
Detroit got off to a kind of a better start than I thought, but that's not. Yeah. I don't see how they sustain that. That's a bad team.
They're 6-7-1 now, so that sounds about right. Boston 5-4-3, like we expect right there. New York Rangers 6-7-2. Yep. Anaheim at 6-6-2. Calgary 7-6-0. Like the middle, everyone 500 a month into the season is like, yeah, okay, that's whatever. And then you get into Carolina at 4-5-3, which, yeah, that sounds right. That's the Carolina Hurricanes, isn't it?
Yeah, they're, you know, people have been sort of predicting the Carolina breakthrough for a while now, and I just...
Not seeing it.
I don't see it.
They're the
I'm not seeing it, I guess. From what, you know, people who really give a shit about prospects and stuff say that there's some stuff there, but until I see it, I'm going to hold off.
They're the Lars Eller of teams. All the stats people are like, no, watch.
How is old Lars doing with the Caps this year?
I'm sure he's got 2 goals and 6 assists and a strong Corsi.
That sounds about right. I'm pulling up his stats as we speak. But
how about them Buffalo Sabres? There was another team that people thought might be
3 goals and 6 assists.
Oh, was off by a goal. Lars is hot. He's hot. I did not realize. Sabres, did you expect more? A lot of people did.
Not really, no.
No, same.
I like their forward group, but again, that's a deeply flawed team.
Considering they started the takedown before Toronto officially did and are now longer into it, I feel bad, but it seems like the Sabres, like this rebuild's not going to do much for them either.
No. And I know 5 minutes ago I was talking about how, you know, Eichel's a really good player, and it's not fair to compare him to McDavid, and that's true. But listen, he's a really good player. I don't know if he's like the franchise building block player that we thought he
He's really be. Good.
Yeah, he is.
But
this the fact that McDavid or Eichel was like a borderline controversy at one point is ridiculous in retrospect.
And then at the bottom, well, Edmonton, who we talked about, and Arizona. There's no shock that the Coyotes are terrible. Can't wait till we start talking about them on the move again. Oh, wait, we missed a team that I wanted to talk about. How did I skip that one? Where did it go? We didn't talk about New Jersey. I feel like I skipped right past them.
Oh, yeah.
9-3-0.
Talk about surprises of the season.
Yeah. They've been great and kind of look like they're like legit good.
It looks legit. If you take away the fact that they're New Jersey and you don't really look at their roster, if you just watch the game, it seems really legit. They're one of those teams where the tape and the tape doesn't really match up with what you're expecting to see. So it depends on what you believe more. Like, do you trust what you felt going into the season more? Or do you trust what you've seen? It's only been 12 games. So you could argue that the sample size is still too small to really trust the tape, I guess, but they look good, man. Like, they look really good.
Yeah. If you're a Devils fan, you've got no reason to doubt this team right now, at the very least, except for what you say, you know, previous expectations, but they're winning and they're playing well. It's not as though, you know, their underlying numbers are screaming, forget about this team. Like, this is an illusion. Everything indicates they're playing good hockey. You just look at the names, though, and you're like, should they be?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a great goalie. They've got a great first-line winger who they got for not a lot. Besides that, there's not a ton on that team.
Yeah. Who is that? Let's look at this roster. Because they used to be... I liked the seasons when they were built like a bad auto fantasy draft. They're not quite that anymore. But, man, not much on the forward end. You're right. Boyle... Well,
and, you know, I know they had the number one pick, but it's not like Hershiser's came in and just lit the league on fire.
They've got Hall.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Hall. They got Hall for 66 cents on the dollar, and that's a big piece right there.
Look at this. Boyle, Bratt, Coleman, Gibbons, Hayes, Adam Henrique.
Yeah.
They got Newsom, Stafford, Wood, Zacha. Is it Zacha or Zacha? I don't even know. I should. Should be Zacha, because that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Who the hell are those guys?
I don't know. I know about two of the names that you just said.
Exactly. But a lot can come from a solid goalie, as we know in Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah. As we've found out over the past couple of weeks.
It's not even like they're blue lines. Like, they don't even have Santini, Severson, Prout, Mueller, Moore, Lovejoy, Green, and Butcher. Like, that team should be last place.
Yeah, I just got off of saying how I'm kind of buying on the team, and then you read the roster again.
You have to look past it. You got to look past it.
You do. They're looking good. They're looking good.
I think they're a playoff team. I think they make it. I don't know what they can do anything in the playoffs, but for some reason, I believe in this team a little bit. Not one of the top 10.
Metro's been kind of disappointing, right?
So far, yeah.
Columbus and Pittsburgh are playoff teams right now, but they're not setting the league on fire.
No.
And then Washington's been a disappointment. New York's been a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
Philly and the Islanders are kind of perpetually mediocre. Yeah. I don't know. The East is weird. That's the thing that's been so frustrating about this Habs team, to say nothing of the fact that they've handcuffed themselves by deciding to play $9 million under the cap. But the East is wide-ass open this year.
Yeah. Well, Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa and then everyone else, but like,
I mean, you have to get really good to get yourself past Tampa, I think.
Oh, I'm not saying they're going to get past Tampa in the regular season, but and obviously this team could still make the playoffs and theoretically go on a run. But if this team is in win now mode, which is what we've all been operating under that assumption since the Weber trade,
if you're in
win now mode, which you should be given where Price is at in his career. How do you have $9 million in cap space? And, you know, if you're going to push your chips into the middle of the table, like, push them all in.
That big chunk of cap space for me is Bergevin's last move. Like, he's all in with that big chunk of cap space because I think he's hoping he can turn it all around. He can solidify all of this with a big acquisition. That's the only reason he'd just be leaving it there. And that wasn't his original plan. That's plan B, because the original plan was Markov in at some amount or Radulov in at some amount and then probably a couple million, which he might have left unspent, you know, because that's not the worst thing to have is a little bit of movement come deadline day. But no, that didn't happen. So now he's got a huge chunk, and so he can either go out and buy like three players who don't do enough to really move the needle, or he can find a way to get a bunch of assets in order to take on a big contract or land a big contract via trade or free agency, because I don't know how they're going to land anything in a trade. But there is free agency, and I mean, come the trade deadline, how that cap room expands is going to be like the amount of contracts they could technically take on, I think, come deadline will be fairly significant. So maybe they do a quick restocking of the cupboards with it, and that turns out to be a really stealthy kind of plan B that Bergevin operated it out from under. But the other thing could be he either wastes it, doesn't spend it correctly, and you know, one mistake leads to more mistakes to try and make up for the fact that neither Markov or Radulov came back, and it's more of the tailspin that I think we're looking at right now. That's what it looks like to me. Some people think they're seeing, you know, big tricks in the air. I'm seeing a tailspin.
Yeah, so there's two things there. One, let's not act like this was his master plan all along. Like you said, he wanted to sign Markov, and then that fell through, and maybe wanted to sign Radulov. And you can make the argument that not signing those guys, especially Radulov at that price, was maybe the right idea.
Yeah.
But this league's hella competitive, man, and the Habs are not a good enough team to be, you know, competing with the rest of the league with one arm tied behind their back.
Yeah.
Now, if he goes out and he gets Tavares or Superstar X or Superstar Y,
PK Subban.
Maybe it's all worth it. Maybe maybe that changes the conversation, but maybe the team's out of playoff contention by the time he tries to do that.
Yeah, and that's speaking of getting out of playoff contention and another fear. So I was listening to the French edition of the Athletic podcast between Marc-Antoine Godin and Arpin Basu. And what I thought raised a really good point on that one was we all expect Carey Price to kind of come back. But if it's not injury, or even if it is injury, but if it's not injury and it's more a mental thing and it's his or positioning that he needs to work on, that's all good. We know he can work through that. We've seen him do it in the past, and you know, there's no reason not to believe Carey Price can't rebound to be what we know him to be. But that might take time, and the luxury the Canadians spent in October was time. If they don't get it back on the track soon, if Carey Price needs 6 weeks to return to Vezina form, that's probably, yeah, you're screwed at that point.
Yeah. He'll get it back. Like, I'm not worried that we have seen the best of Carey Price.
And hope not, because that contract's
Carey
big.
Price is on the, that's true. But, I mean, he's too young and he's too good for this. We haven't hit the end of the road.
No, I don't think so.
I assume we will see vintage Carey Price before the end of the season. But, like you said, if that doesn't come for whatever reason, if something weird is going on and that vintage Carey Price doesn't come until January, this team's not making the playoffs.
Nope. Brendan Gallagher can't will us the whole way. I feel like he's pretty much put the team on his back these past four or five games and been the engine that makes it go like we knew him to be before the hand injuries. And he might carry him a little longer. He's been great. It's my favorite story so far this season. And rightfully, I mean, that's what a relief. Because if he doesn't bounce back, that's another forward down for this team that was already, you know, he's one of our most important players when he's going. And when he's not going, he's one of the most important in that you need him to be going.
Yep.
But he looks like he was exactly who we knew him to be before the injuries. Shouldn't be a shock. He broke his hand twice in a couple of years, and that may have affected him for 6 months.
Yeah. The flip side of that is we all thought Plex was done. Guess what? Plex is done.
Hello. I guess you weren't watching Saturday night when Plex had the hardest shot of his career. Came in at about 76 kilometers an hour, ripping right past the Winnipeg goalie. It was actually the hardest.
That was a gorgeous goal.
Like, when was the last time you saw any speed come off a Plecky goal? Usually they're like at his feet and he kind of pokes it in. I was like, oh, look at that. Usually the goalie just kind of like walks on over, gets in front, lines up, and it hits him right in the chest. Not that one.
No.
It's the most I'd seen from him. But yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's been the highlight of the season so far, though.
You love that he's dead?
No, I mean, that goal was the highlight of the season. I love the guy. He has had a great career, but...
Yeah, too much mileage. It happens.
It tends to happen at 36-year-old forwards or whatever he is.
I think he's 34. But trust me, kids, the body breaks down. Yeah, but he's missed four games his entire NHL career or something?
Yeah.
He was sacrificing his body. Like, he's been a quiet gamer the whole time. And if he was a North American, we'd always be talking about, just how, you know, the grit of Thomas Plekanec for sure. But it's hard to call a guy in a turtleneck gritty, you know what I mean?
That's very true.
It's one of the life lessons.
Reduces your grit by about 13%.
Oh, 13. I think it's in more at 75. I'm trying to think, who's been gritty in a turtleneck?
I assume Steven Seagal at some point.
Yeah, that's true. There may be a little grit there. Any of the Bonds wear turtlenecks? The Bond's not a gritty guy. He's a finesse guy, let's be honest.
He's a glory boy.
Now I feel like you're just picturing Max Pacioretty in a Bond tuxedo. Speaking of that, he was the assassin on Saturday night. First power play goal since February of last year. Jesus. Set up beautifully by Galchenyuk.
He hasn't even been that bad, but he'll heat up at 22, which will help the team, we think.
Yeah, he was fighting the puck definitely for a stretch there, but most of the players were. But, you know, you look for Max to save. He's got five goals. He'll score 30 to 35, I'm sure. I like,
yeah,
I
like he does it. I mean, no one's really underperformed except for Carey, right?
Yeah, Petrie's been not as good as he should be. I would say,
yeah, but I mean, the rest of the defense has been horrible, but they're also just not very good.
Yeah.
Having a defensive core made up of 7 number 6 defensemen, yeah, we're all slow as shit. It's not really a recipe to win in 2017.
Shea Weber wasn't himself out of the gate, but he's looked a lot better, I'd say, these past 6-7 games.
Yep, he's looked good.
He looked really good in Winnipeg. That was the most kind of get up and go that I'd seen from Shea Weber, maybe since he was in a Habs uniform, not counting the playoffs, because that's a different Shea Weber that you get in the playoffs. But man, he was moving last night.
Yeah, for an old slow guy, he's still got some wheels.
I mean, yeah, for an old slow guy, we'll add that in there. Also, 31 years old, he's not that old.
He's not that old, and he's not that slow either. He's faster than I thought he was.
The continued Shea Weber experience here is, everything we say, we're always like, yeah, he's pretty good though, actually, isn't he? There's always that. We're back, I think.
We're back. Hey, buddy. It's now June. Stanley Cup Finals start next week.
Sweet.
It's going to be, yeah.
Who's in?
The Predators and the Penguins.
Oh, repeat performance. Sounds nice.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got to end this thing.
Yeah, the advantage of technical difficulties is the ability to see into the future if you wait long enough.
Yeah, we got electrocuted trying to put our board back together and gave us the sight, as they say. All right, we're going to wrap this up because it has been a disaster trying to keep this raft afloat. Probably long enough anyway. I did want to, before I got out of here, we did a bit a little while back, I guess on the last podcast, the big show that we did, where it was Paging Dr. Recky. That's the name of the bit. And I've got to thank Dove Benjamin for coming up with the answer to why there was a hole in the bottom of my foot.
Oh.
Yeah.
You tell.
Apparently. And, you know, if you're eating, maybe stop it. It's called a plantar wart, apparently. A planter's wart. So apparently I can go and get it burned off. Frozen burn, whatever that is. But I got to do it like 5 times. And truthfully, I'm going to try to ride this one out.
Oh, gritty.
I'm also not even taking the medical advice from our not qualified medical practitioners that are sending me advice. Being highly responsible with this part. So here's what I got for Paging Dr. Recky this week. I woke up with a big cut on my finger, all scabbed over. Don't know how it happened. So if anyone can offer me a medical explanation for that, it'd be much appreciated.
Was this after Halloween? Was it the day after Halloween?
No, it was this morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
There goes my theory.
What was your theory?
I don't know. Drunkenness.
I mean, that's not to say that wouldn't necessarily apply to Saturday night.
My understanding is that you only drink one night a year.
That's very true. Oh, yeah, so that was that bit. Thanks, Dove, for answering. I'll get it looked at or not. Probably not. It also kind of seems to have healed itself, which is how I like to fix most things.
That's usually how those things go.
Yeah, that's my approach. Walk it off, rub a little mud on it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, give it long enough, you're good.
or it kills you. Either way, not your responsibility anymore. Okay, let's get out of here. Any final thoughts?
No, I think that basically covers it, right?
That's good. I'm glad we got this hooked back up and going again.
You always throw it to me for some poignant final thought, and I got nothing.
I know. I kind of like it. Makes me feel superior.
Fair.
All right, we're out of here. Follow him on Twitter at the O'Neill Factor. Though you pretty much never tweet about the Habs, do you, these days?
Is that true? That's still true.
I feel like maybe I don't follow you, to be honest.
Fair, you probably blocked me years ago.
I've been doing a purge lately of all the people who annoy me, so the good chance I had to let you go.
I probably fall in that category.
Yeah, no, definitely had to let you go. So, you know, if you have lower standards than me, give Sean a follow at the O'Neill Factor. I'm at Zach Drops Tweets. Now, that's some hot fire content.
Oh, that's pure gold. I follow you, buddy. Love your account. Great account.
Thanks. That means a lot to me. I really value that opinion.
That's how it's done.
I'm not here to jerk you off. At the Montreal Bias is the podcast for, you know, if you want to tell us how to set up a Patreon, set it up for us, and then put $1,000 in it so we can buy some new equipment, that'd be great. We're not going to take any measures to keep the, to do this, but yeah. Also, if you're wondering why once in a while they're fewer and far between these days, it's because it's kind of a pain in the ass to do them right now. We'll work it out someday, we've been saying for 3 years. Thanks for bearing with us through all our technical difficulties. We appreciate that. And Wrangler, send us denim that we can either trade for various technical instruments or just straight up a board, and we'll be cool. We'll continue to promote.
Or a board made of denim.
All the best ones are. Nice denim flap on the front. Reveal all the knobs. Get your hand on some different textures. Nice. Hello. I think that's a good place to end this. Until next time, whenever that is, I'm leaving the country for a while, so it'll be a few weeks. Enjoy the silence. Hopefully the Habs turn this around. Bye, Sean.
Later, buddy.